So good to be with you. It's been a while since we've been able to be up this way. We initially made the trip up so Brenda could see some of her family still up in Michigan. It had been over a year since Brenda had gotten to see them, and especially her mother, and with some sickness and surgery and one thing and another, other providential hindrances, she hadn't had a chance to get up, and we're thankful to be able to get up and visit. We took a little time to get out on a little adventure, and thankful for that. We always enjoy getting out in God's creation and enjoying what God, Bible says He's given us all these things to enjoy, and I really enjoy getting out and enjoying God's creation and just considering all the wonders that God has created for us. And we need to, I believe, never need to lose our wonder at God's creation. God's creation is a witness day by day. Speaketh morning and night of Him and His glory, and certainly it's should be something special to us. We do want to extend our thanks for the church helping us through the years and being such a blessing and helping us with the building. We continue to make progress, and it is one of those things, there's always something to be done, but we've been so blessed to be able to get a lot of things done, and we rejoice. The building's been a tremendous blessing, and we had a tornado a couple years back, and the Lord spared the building we were renting. Came within about a quarter of a mile of our building as it ripped right through downtown Mayfield, and we spent a good bit of time helping and doing and helping others through that and so forth. And then the Lord give us our building we were able to purchase out in Sedalia. It's just 6 miles out of Mayfield. And we had some massive flooding. They called it a 100-year event down our way. And thankfully, the Lord brought all our family and loved ones through it, church folks, and brought our church building through it. We were a bit concerned when there's a little restaurant just across the street from our building, and they posted on their Facebook site that due to no power and due to flooding in the building, we will be closed to further notice, and that's right across the street from the church house. And none of the kids, none of our folks down there were able to get around and check on anything, but when Daryl Bryant was able to get down and check on it, our building was, everything was good, and even the basement, which always leaks just a little when we have a good rain, wasn't any worse than if it had just rained an inch or two rather than 14 inches in 2 days. So we thank the Lord for that. God continues to bless. And again, we thank you for your prayers and help with us in the work there. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Mark. We'll get into the Word. I want to share a message that I hope will encourage us in our witnessing, in our talking to the lost. Many today have a totally false impression and idea of what the Lord would be doing if He was here today. And as we think about being a witness to the lost around us, I'll ask you two questions to start with. Number one, would anybody know better than Jesus, what God the Father wanted lost sinners to hear. Would anybody know better than Jesus what God the Father wanted lost sinners to hear? And two, would anybody know better than Jesus what lost sinners needed to hear? Would anybody know better than Jesus what lost sinners needed to hear? There are so many false narratives today. If Jesus was here today, he wouldn't be marching in parades, he wouldn't be carrying banners, he wouldn't be promoting any manner of sin. He'd be speaking the same thing that he spoke during his personal earthly ministry. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, we'll not ask you to turn there, but in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples had watched Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, ascend up into the heavens and clouds receiving him out of their sight, the angel appeared and says, "Why stand ye here gazing?" This same Jesus will return as you've seen him go. Hebrews 13 tells us, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the message to lost sinners, if Jesus was walking on the earth this very minute, would be the same as it was during his personal earthly ministry. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Amen. Beloved, I believe that's what lost sinners still need to hear today. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. As we look at the message of Christ, this wasn't just a one-time message for this particular place or this particular time of him being in Galilee. Look down in this chapter, Mark chapter 1. And he said unto them, verse 38, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." So this wasn't just a message for where he was in Galilee. Let's go to other towns, let's go to other places, let's go to other cities, that I may preach there also. And then look over in the book of Luke chapter 4. Verse 43. Luke 4:43. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Everywhere he went, everywhere he preached, to every lost sinner he met and had the opportunity to speak to preach to, whether in the synagogues or any place else, I believe his message was consistent. I believe it was the same. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Oh, beloved, there are so many false narratives about Jesus today. So many false ideas. So many things that the world has embraced that I really believe there are bunches, masses of people right now in America have never heard the real message of Jesus. Never heard the real message of Jesus. The basic elements of the Lord's message, first of all, time is short. Time is limited. The time is now. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Now's the time. I got to thinking about how one might illustrate the brevity of life compared to forever and ever and ever. And I thought of many different things crossed my mind. But I couldn't think of one that would really complete the view of what our limited lifespans are, 70, 80. If the Lord let us all live to be 100, that's just a dot on the face of forever. Ever and ever and ever. It's just so brief. It's just so limited. Time is short. If the Lord lets us live all a normal lifespan, 70, 70, 110, and a lot of times God is gracious and then some. But if we all lived 100 years, if we all could live a whole century, it's such a limited time in the face of forever and ever. Lost sinners need to realize today, time is short. Now's the time to consider your eternity. Now's the time to know where you're going to spend eternity. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Because everybody's got an eternity. And not everyone goes up. Not everyone goes to be with the Lord. Jesus put it to people. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time's fulfilled. Time is short. People today are so full. You know, we live in such a day and time where there's just so much to occupy our senses and ourselves 24/7. There was a bit of a Brenda's family reunion yesterday, and it was good to see others of her family beyond her mom and some of her brothers and stuff. But as we were sitting around fellowshipping and one thing or another, the picture of modern day experience, there's six or eight of us sitting around and everybody's got their cell phone. <You're> looking at and I thought to myself, well, now that's kind of the picture of the way things go today. But how people need to realize the brevity of life. The shortness of life. The earnest need to know where you're going to spend eternity. Because you don't have forever and ever to consider it. You've got a brief window of life. And then eternity. And if you don't know Jesus in this life, what a sad, sad eternity. What an awful, eternal experience of the congregation of God for all ages. Oh, beloved, time is short. Secondly, second part of the message of Jesus, repent. Repent. People don't ever hear this. People, the modern day evangelistic movement is just kind of like a sales pitch, just kind of like marketing, just kind of like, you know, you try to get people to nod their head or try to get people to follow you along, point A, B, C, and then, you know, if they nod their head or repeat a prayer, you know, you slap on the back, all right, you're great, you're good. Jesus called for repentance. Repentance of sin. Probably most people, if you talk to them and today and we've had a chance to witness to them, you talk about repentance, they'd scratch their head and say, repentance, what's that? What's repentance? No one ever told me anything about repentance. Jesus told every lost sinner everywhere he went, repent. And he made it personal. Repent ye. Let us consider for a few moments what I call the four C's of repentance. The four C's of repentance. And they're only experienced by the working of God the Holy Spirit. First of all, there's conviction. There's a conviction. There's a conviction in your heart and mind that you're a sinner. That you're condemned in and of yourself. That you're helpless in and of yourself. There's a conviction of sin. A conviction of your need of salvation. Secondly, I believe there's a contriteness. There's a sorrowfulness, a godly sorrow. A grief over your sin and over the recognition of your sin, and over the recognition that you can't do anything in and of yourself about it. Thirdly, I believe there needs to be a confession. A confession before God that you know you're a sinner, lost, condemned, unclean. And then fourthly, there's a change. This idea, I've run into too many through the years that believe they have a salvation, but nothing's changed. Repentance is going in one direction, away from God. And when you're convicted and when you're contrite and when you confess, it causes you to turn from your sin and self and look to Jesus. It causes one to do a 180 and turn from the direction they were, turning from sin in the world, turning unto Jesus. The Bible tells us, in Acts 17:31, that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Jesus was speaking to some other folks in the book of Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said unto them, now you talk about making a point. You talk about driving a point home. You talk about getting to the heart of the matter. Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, except you repent. A sinner is a sinner and a sinner, and a sinner needs saving. And the first aspect of salvation is repentance. Repent ye. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Back in Mark chapter 2. He was spoken evil of, talked bad about, because he ate with publicans and sinners. And he didn't eat there showing his approval of publicans and sinners. Why did Jesus eat with publicans and sinners? Jesus answered the question, verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Now, he wasn't calling the Pharisees whole. The Pharisees were so full of their own self-righteousness, they'd never admit they were a sinner. I came not to call the righteous or the so-called righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, beloved, the old saying, before anyone really gets saved, they have to know they're a sinner, have to recognize the consequences of being a sinner, have to turn from themselves and sin. And do what? What was the third part of the message of Christ? Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. We find in Romans chapter 1, Paul gives us the ultimate recognition of the importance of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Romans 1:15, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, or that's verse 16, verse 15 says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's it. The gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Apostle Paul declared exactly what the gospel of Christ was. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. This is just about as straightforward, just about as plain as anyone could ever make it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul wasn't telling the church at Corinth that they were alone were saved by the gospel. Paul saying, I was saved by the gospel. I'm saved just like you were saved, by the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Oh, the message of Christ to every lost sinner. Time is short. Today's the day. Repent ye. Turn from yourself and sin. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel of Christ. Believe in me dying on the cross for your sin. Believe in my death, my burial, my resurrection. You know, his resurrection is part of the gospel. All the sin and all the suffering that was ever required for all of our sin had been accomplished when Jesus said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 4. Speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Romans 4, verse 25, and he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the full gospel, the complete gospel. And Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation. It's so important, it's so vital. Look at what he says in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Not any other gospel, or not just one of many gospels, but the gospel of Christ. Paul said to the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Galatians had some Jews coming, and they were wanting to mix Old Testament commandments and laws along with the gospel, and saying you got to do this and that besides believing the gospel of Christ to really be saved. There's all kinds of denominations doing that same stuff today. There's all kinds of assemblies gathered around, and they've got all kinds of different things that they have to do according to them to be saved other than just believe the gospel of Christ. And they had commandments and baptisms and one thing after another. But Paul said, I'm marveled. I'm shocked that ye are so soon removed from him that it called you into his grace, called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Wow. That's strong stuff. That's putting it right down the line. I mean, there's not leaving any room for any misinterpretations. What was the gospel Paul preached? The death of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, his burial and his resurrection, the third day according to the scriptures. That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, beloved, this is still what lost sinners need to hear today. I believe they still need to hear the same message that Jesus preached over and over and over. In every town and every city he went, in every synagogue he sat and taught in, and to every lost sinner he ever met. Time is short. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Beloved, we can't do better than to share the simple, straightforward message of Jesus with the lost that we know, with the lost that we get to speak to, the lost that we may have the opportunity to witness to. I remember when I was young, there was any number of books about soul winning and about the gospel. And I remember one I read even as a young teenager, very young in the Lord. It was seemed something that I couldn't believe. But this one fella had his ABC, his 1, 2, 3, and he made a statement that if he could get in the door, if he could knock on the door and get in the house, that within just a few minutes, he could get a profession of faith. And again, it was nothing more than a high-pressure sales pitch. Beloved, the message of Jesus, just as Jesus shared it in his life, just as Jesus would share it if he was walking on the face of this earth today, time is short. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye. Believe the gospel. I pray today for everyone who's here that you'll have that experience, that God the Holy Spirit will quicken you unto the reality of your sin, that without Christ you're lost and dying and headed for eternal condemnation, and convict you of your sin, bring upon your heart a true contriteness for sin, a grief of sin, a godly sorrow over your sinful condition, that you'll confess and change. Turn from yourself in sin and believe the gospel of Christ. Receive by faith Jesus dying for your sins, not just the sins of the world, your sins, being buried and rising in the third day. And he's busy right now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. How blessed is that? May God bless his word. May we look and be mindful of being a witness, and let's be mindful to seek to share the same message that Jesus shared with the lost that he dealt with day by day in his life, that he'd still be speaking today if he was among us. May God bless you.